This episode of DG's Courtroom is sponsored by Draft, a daily fantasy app where your chances of winning are almost three times better than on FanDuel or DraftKings. On Draft, it's draft day every day. You can do a simple snake draft for one day whenever you want. Drafts take just minutes to complete. Download Draft now. Be sure to enter the promo code DFBPOD when you download to get a 100% deposit bonus. And with that, we are off. Welcome to the show. For Tuesday, January 24th, 2017, I am your host, The Judge, also known as Daniel Green. You can find me on Twitter at DanielAGreen1. A very nice, interesting six-game slate. All the games should be super tight, super competitive, super fun to watch. You do not have a lot of stars in play, though, on Tuesday. And a lot of teams that are not, you know, the track meets no up and down. A lot of teams that are top five in the league in pace really aren't in play. But I think that makes it actually for more exciting in terms of building lineups. So I think it's a really nice slate and a good chance for us to show off our skills on Tuesday night in order to achieve glory and make some good money. Hopefully you had some good Monday. Monday was a fun slate to play. Hopefully you ended up making some money as well. The games in general were fun to watch. There was some late breaking news. So you had all kinds of drama going on for Monday night. We'll get to that. We'll get to all the good stuff in a minute. The Dream Lovers, Dream Killers, Chambers winners. First, please rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. That would be help. That would help the judge. It doesn't take you long to do. Just do it while you're listening to the judge's smooth, silky voice at 4:30 in the morning on this early Tuesday morning, I guess. It does mean a lot to me. Also, our new thing that we started yesterday, which went okay. But the judge is on to you. Some of you guys are very loyal listeners, loyal followers, and others of you sometimes disobey me and the bailiff. And one day, me and the bailiff will track you guys down, the ones who are disobeying us. I don't know what the punishment will be yet, but we will find something. Or you know what? Maybe I won't punish the people who are being disobedient. I will reward the loyal followers of the judge. So what I want to try to do is when I tweet out the podcast, if you guys, everyone likes tweets. We like every tweet. You know, I'd say what? Out of all the tweets that you're mentioning, what percentage of those tweets do you actually like? I bet you it's a pretty high percentage. What the judge wants you to do is retweet, not like, RT. So retweet out whenever I do post the podcast. I just don't have to retweet out everything, you know, whenever I'm just tweeting normally. If I tweet out, like, you know, something to, you know, for Tuesday, probably tweet something like, if Moutier's out, Wilson Chandler gets a 2% usage bump. You don't have to retweet that. You can if you want. But what I want you to do is retweet whenever I tweet out the podcast. We must expand the listeners. Yesterday was very exciting. We almost hit close to 7,000 listeners, which is pretty cool. So again, let's try to expand the base, get more people to listen to the show. Because the good news for you guys, and let's face it, like, I can't do this alone. I do need the people who listen. I need all your guys' help, and that's why that's part of the reason I like doing the show is all the different ways that we get to interact, that I get to interact with you guys, and then you guys with each other as well. So now I forgot what I was going to say. Yeah, whatever. Maybe it'll come back. Maybe it won't. This is one of the problems when you do a show this late. Also, premium services, consultations. So if you still are interested, let me know. My schedule is getting too crazy. Real life work, you got DFS as the second full-time job. So it's getting hard to do. But if you want to do one, let me know and I'll see what I can do. Not sure how much longer I can do those. Also, please download the app Draft. And when you do, use the promo code DFBPOD. Which would be very nice of you. Again, if you download the app and you can't find where the promo code is, just let me know, tweet at me, or go to the website dgcourtroomdfs.com, and I will make sure both of us get credit for that. Also, you may have noticed that there was on the homepage of the app Draft, there was a bracket challenge, a 7-day battle to the death. It was $10, 128 slots. It filled up. So congrats to you guys. I'm glad that I was able to fill yesterday. That started on Monday night. Hopefully you're in there. It's a lot of fun. Hopefully you actually advance on Monday, so you're going to round of 64 on Tuesday night. Hopefully we'll have another Chambers bracket up this week. I'm not sure what it's going to be yet, but hopefully it will be up soon. I will keep you guys posted, and when it's up, I will let you know via probably via Twitter and then on the podcast as well. Also, remember, guys, we do have a draft chambers league. If you go to the My Drafts, and if you download the app and use the promo code, you're automatically entered into the league. So if you click on the app or open the app and then you click on My Drafts, you should see in there something called the Judges Chambers, and that's the league. Now, right now, we only have about it's a draft every day at 6 p.m. as long as the slate is a big enough slate to do it to do a snake draft. But it's only for five. There's only five slots. So again, we might expand that in the future. I mean, I'm pretty sure we will. But just so you guys know, it is there. And right now, it's really the same. This kind of the same guys are entering that every day. So it's only $1 too. It's just a lot of fun. I'm telling you, the snake draft. It's like a nice little escape from the realm of DFS. You know, just for like a few minutes. Only takes a couple minutes to do the snake draft, and then you get back to building your lineups. Chambers. So we had three chambers on FanDuel, like we always do. We had one on DraftKings. The one on DraftKings is 50 people. I think we could probably go up to 75 slots, but right now it's 50. Let me know your guys' thoughts. If some of you have been trying to get in DraftKings and you haven't been able to, let me know, and I'll think about upping it for 75. Maybe on just the big slates, on the large slates, I can up it to 75. FanDuel, the bailiff made an appearance. As you guys know, it was the bailiff's second birthday on Monday. It was a very exciting day for us. And I know some of you asked on Twitter, I'm still undecided on having the birthday party for the bailiff at this bar. This is where you can bring dogs. It's probably going to be Thursday or Friday if we do have the party for the bailiff. I'm just a little torn because, I think it's going to be a little overwhelming. I can imagine all these drunk girls like picking him up. And then, you know, he's not a big fan of being picked up. The bailiff does not like to be picked up. He likes to be in charge of all situations. So, yeah, I'm not sure. Back to Chambers. So we'll think about increasing it on large slates maybe to 75 for DraftKings. But on FanDuel, the demand is just insane. It fills up whenever I post the links. It fills up in, one or two minutes basically. So if you're trying to get in on FanDuel, you can always tweet at me. I know a lot of you tweet at me. A lot of you DM me. A tweet is better than a DM. There's a better chance I'm going to see the tweet in time. Sometimes the DMs, I just get too many, so I can't see it before lineup lock. So, and then that's for questions too. If you have a question regarding the slate, a tweet, I'm probably going to have a better chance I see the tweet than I'm going to see a DM. So the DMs just get backed up. So if you're trying to get in though, you can just tweet me, and then I do my best to look at those throughout the course of the day. Sometimes I can't do it, but I do my best to try to get everyone in that wants to get in for that particular day. And if I can't get you in on that day, I try to get you in the next day for Chambers. So for the Chambers on Monday, we had at M Millions. He's the number six ranked player in the power rankings. His fourth win and his 10th cash. He actually got the highest score out of all three chambers with a 346. And there were monster scores on Monday because, I mean, the easiest way you know it's going to be a high scoring night if the chalk guys are going nuts. So if the guys who are like 50 plus percent owned, or even the 40, if the guys 40 to 50% owned are having monster nights and they're relatively cheap, then you know it's going to be a super high scoring night. So when you see a Terrence Jones who's like 45% owned going for over 60, you know it's going to be high scoring night. When you see a Drew Holiday getting over 60, you know it's going to be a monster scoring night. So, basically all the chalk guys performed pretty well. So it was, I think I saw scores over 400 to take down some tournaments, and to take down a tournament like the Slam, it was like a 389, I think was the top score on the slate. So congrats to M Millions for his victory. And then It's Wags got his second win of the year, his fifth cash with a score of 338. And then the judge, yours truly, took down a Chambers and finished second in one and I think third in one. I wanted to slam all of the Chambers doors shut on all you guys, but you guys are very good players. And some days that's just not possible. For DraftKings, and you know what? I need to step up my game on DraftKings. I mean, I apologize to everyone on Monday because I was playing some big entry fees on FanDuel, and then just with work, and it was hard for me to even get over to the DraftKings site until like 5:58. So I had like 2 minutes to put together a lineup, and also it didn't help at like 6:30 when we had some late breaking news that we basically had Kawhi Leonard, and we learned Kawhi Leonard, who going up against Brooklyn in the in an elite spot we learned he was out around, you know, 6:30 Eastern. And then we learned Anthony Davis, of course, the Tin Man, has like a Charlie horse, whatever the hell that is. We learned that right around 6:30 as well. So we basically had a half hour to redo all of our lineups. And, you know, especially Kawhi, what was going to be heavily owned. And I had a decent amount of Anthony Davis as well because he was in a good matchup. That's what makes DFS fun. Even though it's kind of annoying and stressful, the last half hour, that's when you can really show off your skill. It's when, you know, you have about 30 minutes to put all the knowledge, all of the judges' training that I've, you know, it's not like I'm not trying to talk to you for an hour. I'm hopefully you are being entertained. That was FanDuel Chambers on DraftKings. Congrats to JBen03. Put up a score of 324. Pretty good score on DraftKings. Super Fargo, score of 323. So DraftKings, it was close and tight, the Chambers on Monday. And then CPACAM 007 took third. MG Fresh took fourth. And Jay Zuno took fifth. And I think it's the top right now. I think I mix it up a little bit. Sometimes I do top five caches, and sometimes I do the top 10 caches on DraftKings. Your feedback is always appreciated. So let me know if you guys would prefer, like when we have 50 entries, if you think the top five should cash or top 10. I'm good either way. Dream Killers and Dream Lovers. For Dream Killers, let's start with really the only spur that kind of struggled on. I mean, everyone else for the most part, even though I know we heard David Lee wasn't starting after lineup lock, so a lot of people were freaking out. David Lee was close to 50% owned. But he ended up coming off the bench and still doing okay. I think they wanted to start Dead Man Walking to guard Brook Lopez. But David Lee still did fine. He basically ended up in the mid-20s. I think it still hit value. But Murray, who's starting for Tony Parker these days, was really the only spur who didn't come through. He got 20 minutes, which I had him down for about 23, 24 minutes anyway. And he had 13 FanDuel points. At his price, if you played him, he didn't kill your lineups, but you probably didn't take down a tournament if you played Murray. So that was disappointing for his performance. Jeff Teague for Indiana, super disappointing. I don't even think he hit 20 FanDuel points. So that was tough. I mean, Paul George played really well, and Miles Turner played pretty well. But Teague did not perform, and that was disappointing because he was in a good spot. Nick Batum, this entire Charlotte-Washington game, I don't know if you watched it, but it was bizarre, man. Like, the entire second half was super bizarre. The first half, you had guys like John Wall, Cody Zeller going nuts. I'm pretty sure John Wall had close to 30 FanDuel points at the half, and I know Cody Zeller had close to, like, 25 FanDuel points at the half. And the second half, they both did like nothing. A lot of guys did like nothing. Batum did nothing the whole game. I think he ended up with like 20 FanDuel points or something like that. And at his price, that wasn't good enough. Now, I mean, the funny part was I just looked at the winning slam lineup before the show, and that's the $25 entry fee tournament on FanDuel that I used to play a ton before I fell in love with the single entry tournaments. But Batum was in the winning lineup. I mean that just shows you, because so many of the lower price guys went nuts, like a Drew Holiday, like a Terrence Jones, you know, Dwight Howard had a good game, who was pretty cheap. I mean, so you, that's why you could afford one guy in your lineup to not have a monster night and still win. So he was a dream killer for a lot of people, but for the person who won the slam, he was not. MKG, another guy from that same game, just didn't come through. Whiteside's almost unplayable these days, barely getting 30 FanDuel points. Gordon Hayward and Gobert from that Utah game, and that last game of the night, Utah OKC, which was a fun game to watch. Westbrook hit a game winner with like 1 second to go. But like Hayward just, it's weird, man. Like down the stretch for that game, the best player for Utah, and I'm not drunk, was Alec Burks. They were going to him like every possession. And my boy Joe Ingles, who I had in a lot of lineups, was not playing down the stretch. They played fat Waffle House Boris Diaw a lot of minutes down the stretch. Derek Favors still barely plays 24 minutes. So Gordon Hayward, he stands in a corner now a lot of the time. It's just bizarre. He's just too good to do that. Although Alec Burks was playing well. Dream Lovers, lots of Dream Lovers on this slate. I mean, if you're going to have the possibility that you get a score of 400 on FanDuel and close to like a 360 or something on DraftKings, that means lots of guys put up monster numbers. And that starts with Deion Waiters. I called, I think I'm pretty sure I don't know if I tweeted it. I know I said on the show yesterday he was a good play. I'm pretty sure I tweeted about this as well with a lot of you guys. If he's shooting the ball well, he's going to get 40 to 50 FanDuel points. It's just that simple, especially when Tyler Johnson is out, especially in a high-paced game, especially because Goran Dragic wants to hide in the corner and he's scared to touch the ball late in games, and which is another bizarre thing that I've been noticing this entire year. So Deion Waiters was terrific. The second straight game, he shot like over 60% or something, and not to mention he hit the game winner, hit the game-winning three-pointer against Golden State. If he would have missed, I think the game would have went to overtime, and that probably would have been better for anyone who had exposure to that game. Like I had Durant in some lineups, and he was like 10%. The ownership was crazy on this because it was such a large slate, and so many guys were high owned. You could get stars really at a low percentage. I mean, guys like Durant were low owned. Kyrie Irving was super low owned. Westbrook was 10%. Even Harden was only like 23%. So, I mean, the stars were super low owned. It was a really cool, interesting, fun slate to play. But Deion Waiters was terrific. Terrence Jones, the second Anthony Davis went out. I mean, everyone at DFS is pretty smart now. For the most part, most people played Terrence Jones, and he's not cheap. He was like over, I think it was like 5.2K on FanDuel, and on DraftKings, he was over 6K. So on DraftKings, he was only like 30% owned or something like that, which I think is about right. I mean, he wasn't a lock. They were playing the Cavs without Anthony Davis, so there was a chance Cleveland could have blown them out. And I mean, I thought he'd have a good game. I didn't think he'd go crazy. I mean, he had a game of his life. Him and Drew Holiday both, they had the best games of their careers. And he ended up with over 60. Him and Drew both ended up with over 60 FanDuel points. T. Jones might have been close to 70. I mean, it was absurd. And it's not like he just had a good first quarter. He continued throughout the course of the entire game. It was really impressive. Which also, let's go back to a dream killer. How about Elvin Gentry? Like, Terrence Jones has been doing this. Not as good as he played Monday, but he's been stellar every minute he's played this year, at least that I've seen. And the fact that Elvin Gentry refuses to give him minutes, refuses to start him, and continues to play guys like Dante freaking Cunningham is just, that's a criminal act. You should be locked up in DFS purgatory, in some type of jail that we have for you. The bailiff should be in charge of the key. It's really disgusting. Elvin Gentry, I don't know what the hell that guy's been doing this year. But Terrence Jones deserves a start, deserves a ton of minutes. He was tremendous. The same with Drew Holiday, for that matter. Which also should let you know, Elvin, that don't let Tyreek Evans dribble the ball a million times whenever he plays. Like, Drew Holiday's good. He should be getting, his usage rate should be high, and he's your second best player next to Anthony Davis. Jabari Parker, power four was so loaded on this slate that Jabari Parker was 6% owned. I mean, everyone wanted David Lee. Everyone wanted Terrence Jones. LaMarcus Aldridge was another phenomenal play. The second Kawhi went out, LaMarcus's usage rate goes through the roof when Kawhi's out. So LMA was a great play, and he actually came through for us. But that left guys, you know, at power forward who were super low owned. I mean, basically everyone else was low owned. If you got, I mean, Ryan Anderson, I think he was like 2%. Jabari Parker was 6%, and Jabari Parker went berserk in that Milwaukee, you know, playing way up in pace in that Milwaukee-Houston game. Miles Turner was good for Indiana. I mean, he's so fun to watch, so athletic. I thought he'd have a bigger game. He ended up with close to 40 FanDuel points. I thought he was, you know, he could have got like 50. He didn't have a great first half, but when he turns it on, I mean, he jumps off the screen. He's so super athletic. He can be out on the perimeter. There's really nothing he can't do well on a basketball court. He really is one of my favorite centers to watch play. He's just so talented. Matthew Dellavedova, he was a dream lover, man. I know it's hashtag Deladeath, not the sexiest guy to watch or to look at, but he's starting for the Bucks again, and he just played really well. It was impressive. So he was close to like 27 FanDuel points. And he was under 4K. I think it was like 3.7K. So I had him in a lot of lineups. I think I had him in Chambers lineup. I think I played him and Fat Felton in the Chambers lineup. And Dellavedova was really good. Patty Mills for the Spurs. All the cheap Spurs guys basically came through. Anderson and Mills were great. I just wish that Murray would have been great as well. Paul Millsap probably got overlooked on this slate. He's been pretty consistent. Putting up 40s. He got close to 50. on Monday nights. If you played him, congrats, because it was a good play. Because again, power forward was so loaded. Like, I don't even know what Millsap's ownership was, because I faded him. I mean, power forward was so loaded, I couldn't afford Millsap in most of my lineups. Kyrie Irving, he went nuts, over 60 FanDuel points. The one thing about that Pelicans game, the fact when that Terrence Jones and Drew Holiday went nuts, it allowed that game to stay close. And then, of course, then guys like Kyrie, who was like 6% owned, and LeBron, both had really good games. And Kevin Love, too, another power forward. Power forward was crazy. I think Kevin Love was close to like 50 FanDuel points. The problem was, if you played guys like Love or Millsap, it probably still didn't end up well for you, because a guy like Terrence Jones, who was $3,000 cheaper at least, you know, still outscored them easily. So that's why, even if you played guys, you know, like a Love or a Millsap who did well, and in theory may have been a dream lover on a normal night, it just probably didn't work out for you because guys like Terrence Jones went berserk. Austin Rivers, you know, you got to, if you know, he begs the daddy for playing time, he begs for daddy for usage, he begs, and daddy gives him what he wants. And Austin, yeah, you know, with all jokes aside, as much as I do not like his game, if you watch him play now, he does look different. I mean, he's super confident. I remember watching him the last – even earlier this year, but the last couple of years especially, he'd be dribbling the ball off his leg. He looked really indecisive on the court. And these days, he just doesn't. He's playing with a lot of – granted, a lot of that is because they have no one else. I mean, with Blake – Blake's coming back on Tuesday, but with Blake and CP3 out, it's really his show, which is a horrifying thought, that he's like one of the best players on your basketball – an NBA basketball team. But that's been the case without CP3 and Blake. And he was tremendous. He got close to 40 FanDuel points on Monday. And then Cody Zeller, he was really good. I thought he was on his way to like a 50 FanDuel point night. The second half, he slowed down, but he does an unbelievable first half for Charlotte. And then Westbrook. I played Westbrook a lot. I knew he was going to be low-owned. And so that was one of my strategies going into the slate. I wanted to get him at – I thought he'd be about 15% owned. He was even better than that for me. He was 10%, which was tremendous. And he had close to 70 FanDuel points. Now, again, the problem was, when you have a guy like Drew Holiday giving you 60, who's half the price of Westbrook, Westbrook probably wasn't going to let me win a GPP. But he basically, every lineup I had Westbrook, I cashed in. So I was able to, sorry guys. I was able to make a good $300-$400 on this slate. And a lot of it was because of Westbrook. And when you have guys like Terrence Jones, who can, you know, who's kind of a cheap guy going off, a Cody Zeller, a cheap center who does really well. When a lot of the value guys go nuts, I mean, it was pretty easy to fit Westbrook in lineups. So that wasn't the challenge on Monday. It was just a matter of, did you want to play him in a tough pace down game against Utah? And remember what I say about GPPs. Like, that's one of the ways you can take down a GPP. You get a superstar in a bad matchup, in a slow paced game, when people are going to fade him. All right, injury news for Tuesday. 6-game slate, but we still do have some injuries. Ginobili is still dealing with back spasms. He's questionable. Kawhi, he is probably going to be back. I don't even know if he really has a sore hand. I don't know if Popovich made that up going up against Brooklyn. Patrick Patterson still questionable. So if he's out, hashtag Noghead will be in play for Toronto. Tony Parker still out with a foot injury. So Murray, I think Murray's going to be a good play because of recency bias. I will go back to the well again and use some Murray on Tuesday. DeMar DeRozan, this may be the biggest one of the day. He's going to be out with an ankle injury. So when he is out, the judge did a little research for you guys. Terrence Ross gets a 5% usage bump, which is somewhat interesting, and I think he'll be a sneaky play because, remember, a lot of guys in DFS don't like to play people who are coming off the bench. So I would assume they start Powell, and Powell gets a 2.7% usage bump. So Powell will probably be the higher owned guy between him and Terrence Ross. But Terrence Ross will become a sneaky ninja on this slate. My bae, Jonas Valanciunas, gets a 3.6% usage bump. Remember, DeMar DeRozan has like a 35% usage rate. So everyone on the team is going to get a bump. Kyle Lowry gets a 3% usage bump. And so that's basically the main guys that I'll look to. But so Toronto, I love a lot of their guys for this matchup. I mean, without DeMar, man, watching, I mean, God forbid, Kyle Lowry is going to be able to actually pass to Valanciunas. You know, it's going to be, you know, really fun to watch. So, all right, where are we? Evan Fournier, man, he's still dealing with his sore right foot. Looks like he's doubtful again. Also for Orlando, DJ Augustine has a sprained ankle, so he's questionable. If those guys are out, you would think Elfrid Payton's going to get all the minutes in the world. Now, his price has risen. I think it was like 6.7K on FanDuel now, which we'll get into in a little bit. But he should play 40-plus minutes. And, I mean, I like guys like Aaron Gordon as well. Maybe even some Mario Hezonja on this slate. So a lot of the Orlando guys will be in play. Then you got Blake Griffin coming back. So watch the news. Let's see how many minutes he's going to get. I'm not sure if they're going to – how many minutes are going to – I mean, I'd be surprised if he plays his regular allotment of minutes in the first game back. Just so keep your eyes on the news. Obviously, that will impact Austin Rivers because Blake Griffin, without Chris Paul, is going to have a monster usage rate whenever he does get up to speed. Joel Embiid is out with a knee. Ricky Rubio is questionable with a personal matter. He had a death in the family. So if Rubio is out, fire up Chris Dunn. He should be fine for all formats. Also, I mean, Shabazz Muhammad was really good last game for Minnesota. Emmanuel Mudiay for Denver, low back soreness. So, dear God, Jameer Nelson. I don't want to play Jameer Nelson. But if Mudiay is out, he's going to get 24 minutes, maybe more than that. I mean, last game, Mike Malone's crazy. And if you play DFS, you know that. I mean, I think last game, Mike Malone was running out like some Will Barton as like the backup point guard too. So I don't know what the hell he's going to do, but I would think Jameer Nelson is going to get a lot of minutes. All right, let's take a quick flight to Vegas, shall we? I always like going to Vegas. It's always good times. All right, so six games, no monster over-unders, but they're all fine. The worst one on the slate is Clippers Philly, a 201.5 over under. Then you got Chicago Orlando, 206 over under. San Antonio Toronto, two really good teams, 207 over under. Utah Denver, this is very interesting for me. 211.5 over under with Utah. Now, a lot of that is because it's played in Denver in the high altitude. I wonder if this game was played at Utah. I would think that would be more like a 204, 205 over under. Now Denver does play really fast pace anyway, but that's a lot of points for a Utah game. So, you know, Utah playing way up in pace. We should be able to attack some Utah guys. Minnesota at Phoenix, 212 over under. Man, that's a fantasy gold mine in terms of some guys in that game. And then Boston at Washington. I was gonna say Boston. Boston at Washington, 219 over under. So that's the highest over under of the night. And John Wall versus Isaiah Thomas. The one thing, once we get to Wall, please be seated, because his price on DraftKings, his price is fine. Just like lock and load him in your cash games right now on DraftKings. But on FanDuel, it went up like over $1,000 overnight, and it's super bizarre. All right, team's playing up in pace. You know I love three things in life. My bailiff, who is now 2 years old. Where does the time go? Man, I can't believe he's 2 years old. He's looking at me right now. What's up, man? Go to bed. Super late. I love the bailiff. I love usage, and I love pace. Especially I love attacking teams playing up in pace because they get extra possessions, especially relative to their salary. So Minnesota playing way up in pace against Phoenix. I just mentioned Utah playing way up against Denver. And the Clippers a little bit against Philly, and then Boston a little bit against Washington. Defensive first position, anything stand out? Yeah, let's see. I mean, the Wizards, you can attack at power forward, but unfortunately Boston, I mean, Al Horford is kind of their power forward some nights, so maybe Al Horford's in a good spot. Phoenix really struggles to defend small forward, but I don't trust that stat anymore because P.J. Tucker's not playing a lot of minutes. So Andrew Wiggins versus P.J. Tucker, that means Andrew Wiggins is going to have a tough night on his hands. What else? Orlando, you can attack them at the center position. The Bulls don't really have a center, but Robin Lopez maybe. Philly without Embiid is horrible at center, so DeAndre Jordan should be able to gobble up tons of rebounds. The Bulls cannot defend point guard very well, so that's why another reason why Elfrid Payton on this slate with no DJ Augustine is going to be a really good play. All right, let's hop into the plays. Point guard. My latest thing lately, by the way, is I don't like drinking smoothies during the show, and I don't know how the hell I was doing that. I don't know if I was going through something like semi mid, you know, before, I don't know what. It's like a phrase before you get to a midlife crisis, like, you know, a mid life crisis or something like that. But the smoothie thing, that's disgusting. Now I don't ever want to have a smoothie again, like ever. They sicken me. Now I've gone to drinking like Sprites during the show, and I don't even know where this came from, but like I think I like the sugar rush like this late at night. Before a week ago, I don't think I had a Sprite in like 10 years. So I barely ever drink soda. All right, point guard, John Wall, please be seated because it's expensive. It's 10.7K. I know. I don't understand either. That's too expensive. If this was a 9-game slate, I would fade him for cash, absolutely. Even on a 6-game slate, I think I'm going to be fading him in cash, quite honestly. I will still use him in tournaments because that's another way you can take down a tournament. Play a guy who's overpriced, right? I mean, it's going to reduce ownership because everyone's going to be thinking the same thing I'm telling you right now. On FanDuel, that's just too expensive. He's like 9.3K or something like that on DraftKings, maybe 9.6K, something like that. Or I could just look it up and tell you. He's 9.4K. So neither. But 1.3K less on DraftKings, which I think is a very fair, reasonable price. The 10.7K, I mean, now he's got to get us on, what, close to 55 FanDuel points? He's done that one time in the last, what, 12, 13 games? Two times in the last 20 games or something like that? So it's just, could he do it? Sure. And on a 6-game slate, maybe you just want to look at, you know, you want to get the most amount of points as possible. And there's not a lot of stars to pay up for. So you can fit John Wall in your lineup. So if you still want to do it for cash games, like it's fine. I just think it's a little expensive, and I probably prefer to go a different route. Eric Bledsoe, 9.3K. Man, I remember on the – I think it was yesterday's show where I think the title of the podcast was basically Eric Bledsoe is no longer at Magic Mountain or something like that because he's been too super consistent. He's no longer a roller coaster, and he's going to be a really good play going forward with the caveat I mentioned – what's his price going to be? I was very interested to see how much his price goes up. And it went up over $1,000. I mean, similar to John Wall. So he's now 9.3K. That's freaking expensive too. The good news with him is playing Minnesota. So pretty good pace game. And I still think he's safe for all formats. I'm a little nervous about that too. At 8K, I preferred him a lot more. But 9.3K, I think these days he does have a floor around like 38 FanDuel points or so with a ceiling of, you know, over 60. So he's still fine. Another guy, am I going to use in cash games on this slate? Right now I'm not, but he's at this point he's probably fine for all formats too. Then you got Isaiah Thomas. He's 9.3K. So he's basically the same price as Bledsoe. I think I prefer Isaiah. He may be a lock and load for me for cash games. And for me, it probably comes down to usage rate. He's got the highest usage rate on the slate. His usage rate's even higher than John Wall. It's 35.1%. And he's 1.4K cheaper than John Wall. So for that reason, I'm probably going to go Isaiah over John Wall in cash games. Granted, using both of them is a fine play. I will absolutely stack this game in tournaments. It's probably the best game of the night in terms of fantasy. So, yeah, totally fine all formats. Isaiah Thomas. Then you have Kyle Lowry, 8.4K. Remember, DeMar DeRozan is out playing the Spurs. The Spurs always scare people off, but the Spurs are banged up a little bit. Tony Parker is out. That's probably actually a bad thing in terms of playing Kyle Lowry because if Tony Parker was playing, Kyle Lowry would be able to destroy him. But Lowry shouldn't have any trouble anyway. Now he does get the 3% usage bump without DeMar DeRozan. And if he gets it going, he should see maybe even higher than that. And he's probably going to get more assists. He's going to see a tons of minutes for this game. So I love Lowry's. I don't mind him. Actually, I don't even mind him for cash games. I know a lot of people do not like playing anyone versus Spurs in cash games. But me, on this slate, that's fine. If DeMar was playing, I'd probably be a tournament only play for me on this slate. But without DeMar, I think he's just in a really good spot, and I like him for all formats. Elfrid Payton, 6.7K. I mean, on the surface, that just seems a little too expensive for Elfrid, especially because he occasionally will kill you. He'll throw in a game with like a 20 Fanduel points, a 10 Fanduel points, a 21. But then you go back and you look at those game logs, and I happen to be watching some of those games as well, and a lot of it is just minutes. In the past, I mean, defense has been an issue with him. If he isn't playing good defense, Vogel will take him out, and that's one reason why DJ Augustine eventually started for him and has been starting a good chunk of the year. If Augustine's out, Payton's going to get 35 to 40 minutes. They have no one else to play at point guard. So on this slate, and the Bulls can't defend point guard anyway. MCW's okay defensively, but he's really been struggling lately. So I think Payton's another – I mean, if you want to say – you can save, what, $4,000 from John Wall in all formats. And is it inconceivable that Payton's is the highest scoring point guard of the night? Not – I mean – it's probably not going to happen, but what? It's like, I'd say there's like a 15% chance it happens. And if you're a tournament player, you can pounce on that because Payton does have 50 Fanduel point upside. I mean, he can put up a triple double. I mean, he is really talented. And I just watched him a couple of days ago destroy Utah and put up, I think it was like 57 Fanduel points against Utah last week. So he's in a good spot too. Then you got George Hill, 6.3K. He looked horrible Monday night against OKC. He was dreadful. 32 minutes, only had 18 Fanduel points. What I love to do is I take a guy who's a pretty good basketball player in a good matchup. What's one thing that we live by this year in DFS? Who do we attack? Say it with me. For Denver, we attack Denver guards. Now George Hill is going to get – well, Moutier, actually. I wish Moutier was playing because Moutier is atrocious defensively. But – Jameer Nelson's like 75 years old, so he would get some Jameer Nelson defense, some Will to throw Barton playing backup point guard, some Jamal Murray. George Hill's in a really good spot. Utah playing way up in pace, and because of recency bias, he's going to be low-owned now because he looks so bad on Monday night. So that means for tournaments, I want me some George Hill. Am I going to play some Elfrid Payton George Hill lineups? Yeah, absolutely. But George Hill's another guy who could give you 40 Fanduel points. I don't love his game in real life. And I still prefer those other guys to George Hill. But I think for tournaments, he's on this slate, he's a good tournament play. Then you got TJ McConnell. He's 5.5K. It's just not much upside there at that price in a really slow-paced game. Austin Rivers, 5.4K. Again, that game is just not very sexy, very appealing to me, especially with Blake back. That's going to hurt Austin a little bit. I'm sure daddy's going to start his son at point guard again because God forbid he could start Raymond Felton, who's who would probably be much better at getting Blake the ball and DeAndre the ball. But Austin has been playing well, so for tournaments, he's still fine. Raymond Felton is still sitting there at 4.9K. Even if, you know, I'm not sure what lineup they're going to go with in terms of their starting lineup on this slate. If Felton starts, you know, I think he's still going to stumble, bumble, and eat his way at the buffet to like 20 to 25 Fanduel points. If he gets 30 minutes, he's going to get to 20 Fanduel points somehow. And I do think Blake back helps him. I think it hurts Austin, but it helps Raymond because he's a legitimate point guard. He looks to distribute the ball. Austin Rivers, he just shoots. I mean, I don't know. I don't think he has a very high basketball IQ. Maybe he does, or maybe just more. I mean, well, not, I guess he's always been more of a scorer, going back to his college days at Duke. So, you know, so I do think Blake shooting, that's going to bring Austin Rivers' usage down. Whereas I think, you know, Raymond's usage isn't high anyway, so it's not going to impact him as much. Let's see. Then you got Chris Dunn, 4.7K. If Rubio's out, safe for all formats. And Minnesota playing way up in pace. Dunn was excellent the last game out, giving over 40 Fanduel points. If Rubio's out, you might want to just lock and load Dunn in cash games. MCW, 4.4K. He's looked really bad lately. Then you got Patty Mills, 3.9K. With Tony Parker out, he's probably going to get 20 minutes. He's always a fantasy point-per-minute guy, so he's okay. Then you got Jameer Nelson. They're playing Utah, so not the best matchup in the world. But if he's going to start and play 30 minutes at 3.7K, it's fine. You can use him in any format you want. And Jamal Murray, for that matter, as well, if Moody is going to be out. All right, shooting guard. So shooting guard gets ugly fast on this slate. DeMar was the highest-priced guy. He's not playing. So we got D-Wade. Oh, glorious. D-Wade, my boy, is the best shooting guard on the slate in terms of price. 7K. And it's weird to say, but I think he's safe for all formats. Like the Chicago-Orlando game, it's probably going to be stuck in mud. You're probably going to see me tweeting out turtle emojis at some point during this game. The 206 over-under, I think, is ambitious. I've seen every Chicago game this year, so God, it's going to be tough for them to get that many points. But with that said, Wade's usage rate continues to climb. He was excellent last game. That's one reason why I don't like him as much this game, because he's going to be overowned because he put up 55 Fando points the last game out against Sacramento, where he was awesome. He was everywhere. He's had a couple days to rest now between games. I will never, well, for the most part, on cash games, I would never play Wade in a back-to-back these days. Tournaments, maybe. But now he does have some rest. So 7K, he's got 31% usage rate. That's by far the highest on this slate for any shooting guard. So safe for all formats. Although I do think he's going to be pretty high owned on this slate. And he still could put up a dud. Bradley Beal, 6.7K. I just prefer Wade to Beal because Wade's got a 5 percentage points higher in terms of usage rate. So, and Beal's been bad lately. It's just, it's bizarre. And now Beal gets, Marcus Smart defense a little bit. Is Avery Bradley still out? What's going on with Avery Bradley? No, Avery Bradley's back, right? No, I think he's dealing, no, I think he's still out with that Achilles. So, I mean, Beal, he may be the captain of the Magic Mountain team, replacing Eric Bledsoe. Him or like someone like Wiggins. I mean, he put the last two 28, 35, and then before that 15 and 18 Fando points. He's very hard to trust. I mean, I do like this game, Boston, Washington. And I guess if Bradley's not in there, maybe he won't have, elite defenders against him, but Marcus Smart will probably be on him a little bit. Marcus Smart's slouched defensively. He's fine. If you want to pivot off of Wade and go Beal, because you think his knee's just going to, swell up in the middle of a game, that's fine. But actually, Beal's just as injury prone as Wade, if not more so. So, yeah, whatever. Beal and Wade, I prefer Wade in cash, but Beal is fine for tournaments. And and just because of the slate, and again, I let the slate dictate who I play. Beal's okay for cash as well, I guess. I don't love it, though. Devin Booker. I mean, honestly, out of Wade, Beal, and Booker may be the highest owned out of the three. He probably will be. So I think Booker's safe for all formats on this slate. He is a one-trick pony, so it's kind of annoying. But as I think I mentioned on yesterday's show, the fact that Phoenix now plays a starting lineup, or even if T.J. Warren still started, the fact that they have, for 30 minutes of the game, they have a lineup of like Bledsoe, Booker, Tucker, Chris, and Chandler. When you have three of those guys, Tucker, Chris, and Chandler, who can't shoot, won't shoot, don't want to shoot, just want to run up and down the court, defend, and that's all that's what their skills allow them to do at this stage in their careers. So Booker and Bledsoe get all the shots, all the usage, and all the minutes they want. So that makes both of them. That's why Bledsoe is a really good play these days, and Booker's really good too. I mean, even for a one-trick pony, I normally would like to avoid, but because it's a small slate, shooting guard sucks, and he is locked into so many minutes and so many shots, I think he's fine for all formats. Zach LaVine, tournaments only, 6.2K. I 10 Fando points last game. It was painful to watch. His usage rate continues to decline and shrink as he stands in a corner. 33 of the most Courtney Lee minutes I've ever seen in my life. It was disappointing. It was disgusting. It was sickening. It was horrifying. If you were watching it, you probably vomited in your mouth. And I hate his FanDuel picture. I don't know what he's doing to me. Is he kissing me? What is he doing to the screen? Not a guy that I like rostering, but he does have 40 FanDuel point upside. he is a little bit of a one-trick pony. And if Rubio's out and if they stick P.J. Tucker on Andrew Wiggins, LaVine should be able to get some shots up. If he gets involved, he could get it going. So tournaments, I'm fine with him on this slate. Will Barton, 5.2K. Gary Harris is back, so that's going to hurt Will Barton. I do think he's still going to see like 24 to 28 minutes. And like I said, he was playing like backup point guard a little bit last game. So he's always a sneaky play. He definitely is still at Magic Mountain. And he does have upside. Not the best matchup against Utah. But for tournaments, it's okay. Gary Harris, same thing, 5K. This over-under is pretty nice for Utah. It's a 212 game over-under. So Gary Harris, first game back, played 35 freaking minutes when Mike Malone told us he's going to basically play like 12 or whatever he said. And he had 34 FanDuel points. Rodney Hood is out for Utah, so I'm not sure who's going to be guarding Gary Harris. It's going to be Joe Ingles, who's dirt slow, although he's a sneaky good defender, Joe Ingles. But I think Gary Harris is another guy. He's fine at 5K. He should be able to get you around 20 FanDuel points, I think, on Tuesday. J.J. Redick, Jamal Crawford, they're okay. Then the two guys that are probably going to be high-owned, and it's tough to predict, is Norman Powell for Toronto. He's probably going to start for DeMar DeRozan. And I've watched Powell play a lot this year. He's pretty much a one-trick pony. He tries to act like DeMar DeRozan some nights. So if his shot's going, he can put up a 20, 30 FanDuel point night. He doesn't do much else besides shoot. He's similar to Terrence Ross for that, in that respect as well. But I also saw him play 26 minutes against Charlotte, I think on Friday or Saturday. He was tentative, he was timid, and he put up like 8 FanDuel points, and it was bizarre. So, you know, I do think at 3.9K, he's so cheap, he should be fine. But, you know, he looked really bad last game. And then you have Murray for the Spurs. He's probably, again, going to start and get 20 minutes. So at 3.8K, you can do it. He's probably going to get you between 10 and 28 FanDuel points. He's the floor and ceiling, even in those 20 minutes, it's pretty drastic. Now, with that said, could you roll out a Murray and a Powell lineup? Grant, and they are, and you can do a mini stack of that game because those two teams are playing against each other, the Spurs and Toronto. Yeah, you could. I mean, could both those guys give you 20 FanDuel points? Sure. Could they give you more than that? Maybe. And shooting guard sucks anyway. So if you want to punt shooting guard, you can do that. That's totally fine. Then you can pay up for John Wall and a Bledsoe or Isaiah. And then you can get Karl Anthony Towns and a Jokic. So I'm sure that's going to be a popular play is punting a shooting guard. And I will be one of the people who do it in some of my lineups for sure. I mean, on Monday night, hell, I had a Dellavedova, Fat Raymond Felton lineup in Chambers. So on Tuesday, could I have a Powell and Murray lineup as long as Powell is starting? Sure, why not? Small forward, Jimmy Butler, 9.6K. It's expensive. It's a slow-paced game. And Wade has a higher usage rate than Butler. So I think Butler's fine. He's got a pretty safe floor. I think the floor is probably going to be about 35 to 40 FanDuel points. But if Wade does have it going, especially down the stretch, he'll defer to Wade a lot. And he looks at Wade as a mentor. But Butler's fine. And again, the slate dictates who I play. So he's super safe. And if you punt shooting guard, you're probably going to have a lot of money left over. So you can afford Butler. Now, on a nine-game slate, would I want to pay 9.6K for Jimmy Butler in a slowdown, turtle emoji game? Probably not. But because of the slate, and small forwards, not that great either. So there's no LeBron, no Durant, I guess we do have Kawhi. Man, I hate on FanDuel. See, I'm currently looking on FanDuel, and it says Kawhi's out with a hand injury. But that was for yesterday, so we'll get to Kawhi in a second. But I still think Butler is fine on this slate. Now we will go to Kawhi. I left him off because it said he was out. But no, he is playing. So Kawhi's 10.1K. Another guy that's expensive. He's been similar to Bledsoe, though. He's been on fire lately, so that's why his price is on the rise. You would think now coming off a rest, he's going to get tons of minutes in what should be a really close game. I probably prefer him a little bit to Butler. Kawhi's and Jimmy Butler's usage rate are pretty similar. So the difference maker to me might be just which game is going to be faster. And the pace of the Spurs-Toronto game should be a little bit better, I would think, than Bulls-Orlando. And I think I prefer Kawhi a little bit to Butler, although both are fine. I mean, a nice tactic you could use is if you want to punt shooting guard with go like Murray and Powell, Murray, whatever, punch it with another, J.J. Redick, whoever you want to use at shooting guard. And then you could just use Kawhi Leonard and Jimmy Butler for small forward and move on. Because after that, it gets a little dicey, and everyone else after those two guys are pretty risky plays. Kawhi and Jimmy Butler, both very nice cash game plays on this slate. And they're safe for all formats. Gordon Hayward, 7.4K. You know, I mentioned at the top of the show, watching him on Monday night, it was the Alec Burks show. And it seems like every night lately, someone else for Utah is going nuts. If it's George Hill some nights it's Derek Favors plays well. Gobert, actually does things some nights. So Hayward's, he's been in like the 20s three out of the last four games in terms of FanDuel production. And then even when he gives you 40, it's like barely lately. So I do like the fact Utah playing way up in pace. I think his price is fair at 7.4K. It's not as tasty as Paul George was on Monday when Paul George was 7K in a delicious matchup. But if you don't have the money to pay up for a Butler or a Kawhi, I do think Hayward is the third best small forward on the slate because I think he has a floor of around 30 for Tuesday. And he could probably give you maybe 40, 45. And I really do, you guys know I love pace, so I do love the extra possessions in this game. Andrew Wiggins, 7.1K. Tournaments only for me. He's getting expensive. One-trick pony. He's been good the last three or last four games, 36, 38, and 35. FanDuel points. He's actually got four assists the last two games. Actually, three or last four games, he had four assists, which is pretty impressive. Now, God forbid he could actually get some rebounds and do some other stuff, but he's fine. The one more concern I do have is he's going to get probably a lot of P.J. Tucker defense. And Phoenix is trying to trade P.J. Tucker, I think. So that's one reason why they're giving P.J. Tucker extended minutes, trying to show off his worth. And defensively, he's a stud. He reminds me of – he's basically like Wes Matthews. If you could have like Wes Matthews and P.J. Tucker on the same team like defensively, they would lock down the two and threes. Now, offensively – P.J. Tucker offers you almost nothing, but I think that will hurt Wiggins a little bit, make Wiggins a tournament-only play for me. Then you got Otto Porter, 6.3K. You guys know how I feel about Otto Porter. If you want to use him, go ahead. He continues to like basically hit value and give you close to 30 FanDuel points every night because he fills up the stat sheet. Like on Monday, he got 13 rebounds. So he doesn't shoot because he doesn't – John Wall doesn't pass him the ball that much. What is his usage right now? Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's coming up. Maybe one day I'm going to look and it's going to be like miraculous. It's going to hit like 20%. No, it's 15% still. So I just don't – he just never makes my rosters because I want a guy who's actually going to touch the ball. But you can do it. Gallinari is 5.6K. I don't love the matchup against Utah, but that's pretty cheap. I think he's going to stumble, bumble, fumble into around 25 FanDuel points, so he's okay. Jay Crowder, 5.6K. He's always a super safe cash game play. Whatever I just said about Gallinari, how he's going to stumble, bumble, and fumble into 25 points. Now, I maybe like 70% believe what I said about Gallinari. I 100% believe that about Jay Crowder. He will stumble, bumble, and fumble into 25 FanDuel points. And would I prefer to play a Jay Crowder? Well, he doesn't have a usage rate either, though. I mean, then again, it's still higher than Otto Porter. But, Jay Crowder and Otto Porter are pretty similar players. So I prefer to save the $700 and maybe go Crowder in cash games, although I think Otto does have a little bit of a higher ceiling. But, Crowder always ends up making my cash game lineup somehow. Lord Peasant Covington, 5.4K. He's probably tournament only play for me. If he's making his shots, he will put up 30 to 40 FanDuel points, and if he's not, He could give you 12. It's going to be a slow down, muck it up game. Wilson Chandler, 5.4K. You know, I prefer Gallinari as more of a cash game guy, and Chandler is more of a tournament guy. But then even saying that, Chandler, he really produces more to the cash game level as well. It's granted, he does have 40 FanDuel point upside, which he I think he had two games, which were like 40 and 39 FanDuel points a couple weeks ago. But another guy, he'll probably end up in the 20s. Then you have TJ Warren. Oh, sorry. Oh, one more guy. Aaron Gordon, 5.2K. He's been great. I shouldn't say great. He's been very good. And as long as Evan Fournier is going to be out, compared to guys like Jay Crowder and Otto Porter, I may actually prefer a guy like Aaron Gordon, especially in tournaments, because Aaron Gordon's going to get the ball and be able to shoot a little bit. So Gordon is, quite honestly, he's probably fine for all formats. The pace of this game sucks. I do like to attack Aaron Gordon in fast-paced games because he's super athletic and can get up and down the court. But with Fournier out, I think he's locked into, like, he's got a floor around 26, 28 minutes. And he can get, if he's playing well, he'll get like 36 minutes. So I don't mind him for any format. I think Crowder and the Otto Porters are safer cash games. But I'd probably prefer a Gordon in a tournament. Then you have TJ Warren. They're just using PJ Tucker so much, and he's stuck in like the low 20s in minutes. Occasionally, he plays a game a lot of minutes, and if he's making his shots, he can help you win a tournament. And I do think at some point during the course of the year, again, he's going to help someone win a tournament. He's going to go off for 40 FanDuel points again at some night. Damari Carroll's 4.3K. That's too cheap for him. I mean, he's basically a mini version of Jay Crowder. So you want to use Carroll, I'm fine with it. Then you have PJ Tucker, who I just mentioned. I mean, the small forward's got some decent value. If PJ Tucker is going to play 30 minutes, which I think he will on Tuesday against Andrew Wiggins, he's safe for all formats because just being on the court, he's going to get rebounds. He's going to stumble into a three-pointer, into a fast break layup. He's going to get a couple steals. So, you know, in the four of the last five games, he's been in like the low to mid-20s. So he's fine for any format on this slate, quite honestly. Then you got Joe Ingles. You got Shabazz Muhammad. Muhammad's a tournament play. Kyle Anderson, a tournament play. So there's a lot of – I mean, there's actually some decent – if you don't want to pay up for a Leonard or Butler, you know, you could punt – man, you could punt small forward. You could go a P.J. Tucker, Damari Carroll route or a P.J. Tucker, Aaron Gordon route. I mean, man, this is going to be a fun slate as well, this six-game slate. I mean, you can get very creative building lineups these days. And that's one reason why I love tournaments. It's a lot of fun building lineups and getting creative. Jokic, 9.8K. So you guys remember, hopefully you remember what I said in yesterday's show. I don't even know if I remember. It's getting so late. It's almost 5 a.m. I mean, tonight's show is super late for me. The problem with Jokic is he's so expensive. So at 10K, now he gets Utah. I bet you he's going to get Gobert a lot. And Gobert is probably one of the best five defenders in the league. So not an ideal spot for Jokic here. I'm not playing him in cash games at that price. Tournaments? Sure, because is it going to be relatively low owned for this late? Probably. LaMarcus Aldridge, 7.6K. I'm not sure who Toronto is going to use to guard him. I guess it's going to be hashtag Noghead if Patrick Patterson's out. Aldridge is quite honestly, he's probably safe for all formats. Cash might be a little risky just because everyone's scared of playing the Spurs guys. And if Kawhi was out, I would 100% play LaMarcus in cash for Tuesday. He was really good on Monday. I do like him. I will have a decent amount in single entry tournaments and GPPs and in cash games. I don't have the money right now, but I think he's okay. Markieff Morris. Oh no, I missed Blake. So all right. FanDuel did a nice job of lowering Blake's price because I'm pretty sure last time I looked at Blake's price, it was like 9K when he was out for like 2-3 months. So Blake is back on Tuesday. His price is 7.4K. It's all about the minutes. So check the news. We'll see how many minutes he's going to play. He's been out 17 games with a right knee injury. So I would assume he probably is going to have what, 24 minutes max probably, but you never know. I mean, Gary Harris got 30 minutes back his first game. 7.4K, that's a very cheap price, but if you hear he's only going to get like 18 minutes, and obviously you can't play him. If you hear he's going to get 24 minutes, I probably still maybe I'd throw in like one lineup, maybe two lineups out of 10. I mean, you look what Joel Embiid does in 24 minutes. Markieff Morris, 6.4K. He's been super consistent. He's basically giving you like 30 fantasy points a night. He did it again on Monday. So if you want to do it, go ahead. I'm probably not going to. I can't give you a great reason other than I don't see massive upside. Maybe he'll stumble and bumble just – not only in the 30 fandom points, but he'll stumble and bumble and fumble into a couple of my lineups as the day progresses. Because he is playing really well. Ersan Ilyasova, 6K. He's been really good. He's a guy, whenever Embiid's out, I do look to roster. So he's fine on this slate. The problem is he just never gets over 30 minutes. The last time he saw over 30 minutes was January 6th. So the last couple of weeks or so, he's right around the 30-minute mark. And at 30 minutes, he can basically give you around 30 fandom points. So I think him and Markieff are pretty similar plays in this slate. And then the difference would be Markeef's in a game with, an over-under of 219, where Ersan's in a game with an over-under of, 203, something like that, against the Clippers. So maybe I will look at Markieff a little bit more. Serge Ibaka, I don't know what's going on with Ibaka. The minutes have been really down the last couple of games, and he may have been in early foul trouble in one of them against Golden State, but the last two games have been nasty, 18 and 20 fando points. And actually the last three games, he's played 21, 22, 25 minutes. The last week and a half or 2 weeks, he's been bad. He was coming off of an injury. Maybe he's still banged up. So tournament's only for me at that. But that price, I like the price. He was close to 7K about a week and a half ago. Gorgui Dieng, another guy. The minutes have been an issue. He's been asleep on the court. He's been super frustrating to own. The minutes haven't been there. He has not looked engaged. He has not looked active. It's just been bizarre. Now Minnesota gets in a really fast-paced game. On paper, this game would scream to give. I mean, the last game, Shabazz Muhammad went nuts. And you would think Minnesota could go small against Phoenix. So, I mean, maybe they limit Gorgui Dieng's minutes again, but I mean, I need to look into this more, read some of the, talk to some of the beat writers in Minnesota and read what's going on there. Cause I'm not sure why the minutes have been not so much on the decline, but if Dieng does end up getting 30 minutes in a super fast paced game, he should be able to give you 20 to 30 fandom points and be a safe play. But just the minutes right now are a big issue. And that's one reason why the more I think about this game, and if Rubio's out, I like guys like Dunn and Shabazz Muhammad. And, of course, guys like Towns. David Lee, 5.1K. So, I mean, you guys loved playing David Lee on Monday. I was a little surprised how much love David Lee got. He was not a guy – I think I had him in maybe two out of my 10 lineups, or if I had 10 lineups, maybe he's in about 20% of my lineups overall. And that was before the news that he wasn't even starting. But I get it. He's been good. The two games he started previously, 33 and 36. And that's why I say recency bias is such a massive thing in DFS. I mean, this dude it's David Lee, guys. And he was almost 50% owned. And I know it was Brooklyn, but it's just, yeah, I'm not sure. He's okay at 5.1K. Do I think one day the minutes are going to come down? Yes, because he's horrendous defensively. So, but the price is still fair. He is still starting. Even if he doesn't start, comes off the bench, he's probably going to give you 20 to 24 minutes, and he'll stumble, bumble, and fumble in the close to 20 fando points, I would think. Then you got Kenneth Faried, current tournaments only. Taj Gibson, been really bad, and the minutes are all over the place, tournaments only. With Gibson, I don't know. With Gibson, if you want to go cash, I think you can. I don't know, but he should be able to give you like 15 FanDuel points. But Gibson's hard to figure out. You know what? For me, it's going to be tournaments only for Gibson. Derek Favors, Saric, Noel, Mirotić, Amir Johnson. I mean, bums. Fat gravy juice, Jared Sullinger. Actually got some minutes last game. Looked okay. You got Marquise Chris, who could – I mean, if occasionally he gets some minutes for Phoenix. Where's Naghead? Is Naghead – did FanDuel make Naghead a center now? Hold on. This could be big news if he did. I thought Naghead was a power forward. Naguera for Toronto. Now I can't. Now I'm getting my sights confused. So Naghead is a center. All right, so that's it for power forward. Let's move to center. So Karl Anthony Towns, he's been elite. He's been one of the best players in the NBA the last couple weeks. If you could fit him in your lineups, get him in. Tyson Chandler, I think he's overrated defensively. And I think Karl Anthony Towns will get him out on the perimeter. I mean, sometimes you're watching Towns play. Dude's just going to – he gets the ball on the perimeter and just jacks up a three. And it's like silky smooth. And it's like – it's fluid. It's not a Brook Lopez three, which looks forced, and you're like, oh my God, you start ducking in your apartment. He's very fluid. His game is just tremendous right now. Rubio in, Rubio out. He was with Rubio out last game. He still put up 61 Fando points. So Dunn was able to get him the ball. So safe for all formats. Then you got DeAndre Jordan, 8.4K. It's just on this slate in a super slow-paced game. I do think without Embiid, he's going to be able to get every rebound he can get with, I don't know, who's going to be starting for Philly, Okafor. Okafor is just atrocious. So you can play Jordan if you want, relatively safe, but a little pricey for me. 8.1K, Rudy Gobert. Gobert was not good on Monday night. 31 Fando points. That's his floor, I think, these days. Only 12 points and 9 rebounds. For him, that's abysmal. Normally, he's going to give you a closer to like 15 points, 15 rebounds. So he did have 4 blocks. And that's one reason why I like playing Gobert, though, especially in cash games. The floor is really nice and safe. So if you tell me like 30 Fando points is going to be a horrible night, that means that's someone I need to be considering. And Gobert's always low-owned. Now he gets Denver. They're going to have to play Gobert a ton of minutes. He's going to have to defend Jokic. So I think Gobert is a really nice play. I'm telling you, he's always under 10% owned. No one wants to play him because he's not offensively skilled, and he's one of the rare guys without that does not have a high usage rate, who I don't mind rostering. Al Horford, 7.3K. Just another guy, pretty safe. He's given you like in the 30s the last 3, 4, 5 games. So if you don't know what to do at cash, a center, and you're struggling, if you have around 7K left, you can play Al Horford. He's okay. He probably won't kill your lineups. And Gortat is aging at an unbelievably rapid pace. He's been so bad lately on both ends of the court. Vucevic at 6.6K. Tournaments only for me. He could put up they have some guys banged up. So the last two games, the minutes have been 20. Well, the last four games now, the minutes have been 24, 23, 26, 28. He just became the starter recently again. So I thought the minutes would start being better. But the last game against Golden State, they played Bismack a ton of minutes. So that's why I say tournament only. If he does get minutes, you can attack the Bulls' bigs. I mean, Robin Lopez is so slow defensively that Vucevic should be able to – and Vucevic's super skilled offensively. So he isn't a good matchup, but it's all about minutes. So tournaments only. Tyson Chandler, I'm not a fan of his game. They are going to need him to play a lot, though, in this game to defend Karl-Anthony Towns. And he's been good lately, so I do think if you want to use him in cash games, I'm not going to argue with you anymore. Go ahead. I think he's going to get close to 30 Fando points on this slate. Then you got my boy Valanciunas. He's in a prime matchup. As you guys know, with him, it's all about minutes. And the thing is, though, he's still going to probably get close to 30 minutes. And if Casey ever unleashes him and gives him 35 minutes, he'll put up 50 Fando points. Even he's a fantasy point per minute guy. So even in 30 minutes, he can give you 30 Fando points pretty easily. I'm telling you, he's such a massive body down low. And another guy, he's super skilled offensively. And now he gets the Spurs with like David Lee starting at center, or even maybe it's going to be Deadman, with no DeMar DeRozan, with a 3.6% usage increase. So, and Valanciunas is always low owned. So, yeah, is it a little annoying because the minutes aren't great? Yeah, but the minutes are still in the high 20s or, you know, close to 30. At that price, I think he's fine on this slate. I think he's fine for all formats, but if you want, if you feel safer, you know, going Tyson Chandler in cash, or, you know, spending up, you know, for a Gobert or obviously a Towns, I get that as well. But for tournaments, I will definitely have a decent exposure to Valanciunas. Then you got Gortat, you got Robin Lopez, and you got Bismack, and then you got hashtag Noghead. I mean, Noghead's not bad. He's 3.8K. He is super athletic, and Dwayne Casey does like him. He played him 35 freaking minutes last game. God forbid he could play Valanciunas 35 minutes. He put up 26 Fando points. So, yeah, if you want to punt center, you can use Noghead. And then Deadman did get the start, and he played 29 minutes against Brooklyn, 23 Fando points. If Deadman starts for the Spurs again to defend Valanciunas, I think he's fine to punt with as well. All right, that's it. That's the slate. It's 5:02 a.m. in the morning. Dear God, I got to get to bed. All right. Hopefully you enjoyed Monday. It was a really fun night of basketball. I think Tuesday is going to be a really fun night as well. Six games, six really good games, though, to attack. You can get really creative building your lineups. Every position is pretty interesting, I think. So have fun with it. If you want to get in chambers or have any questions about anything, tweet at me at DanielAGreen1. Also go to the website. You can email me, dgcourtroomdfs.com. Other than that, for me and the birthday boy, the bailiff, court is adjourned, and I shall see you guys tomorrow.